This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, I'm Sarah Bivens.
And I'm Matthew Bivens.
And this is the Doing It at Home podcast, the only podcast dedicated to empowering, loving, and honest conversations around home birth. What started as a fun way for us to document our own home birth journey has turned into a platform for sharing birth stories, resources, and education with the goal of empowering mamas and families to make the birth decisions that work best for them.
Plus, we get into the antics, breakdowns, and breakthroughs of our own experience of marriage and parenthood.
All right. You ready, babe?
Yep. Let's do it, mama.
Hello, you beautiful, gorgeous human you, and welcome back to Doing It at Home, the podcast all about empowering conversations around home birth. We help future and current parents believe in their success with home birth. Believe in yourself, to build that confidence, that trust, that surrender in the process, and to normalize this whole thing that we call home birth. That's what we are here for. I'm Sarah Bivens. My co-host is Matthew Bivens, my husband, my baby daddy, and you will hear his voice in a few moments here once we get into the interview. And I just want to welcome you and thank you for being here, and a special shout out to you right now. Seriously, from us to you, we thank you so much for listening, being a part of this journey with us, being a part of this experience. It's just awe-inspiring and incredible and humbling. And if you want to get more plugged in, more involved with us, we want to have you do that. So follow us on social media, all the platforms. We are on Facebook, we are on Instagram, and we have a private Facebook group for the community. And it is on and popping in that group, y'all. I just have to say that it is so cool just to see the feedback and the response and the support that goes on in there and the dialogue. And it's a way for us to share other things with you that we are limited to with a podcast. So it's ways we can share videos, do lives, have back and forths and actual exchanges with you. So please, please join us there. It's a private group. So just answer the questions. We'll drop you in there and you can get to connecting and being a further role in this community called Doing It at Home. So please do that. And our website is where you can find our shop, diahpodcast.com, our Have Babies Where You Make Them shirts, Birth Junkie, Let's Talk Home Birth, Midwife and Doula mugs. It's all there for you. And you know, holidays are right around the corner here before you know it. So why not get the jump, be a little proactive in terms of getting some gifts for yourself, because that's a thing, and for the birth junkies in your life or the fellow home birthers or just people who love empowering birth conversations and love doing it at home. It's a great gift for your birth worker, like I said, your midwife or your doula, or for the friend or friends who referred you to the show. That'd be a nice thank you. So we certainly thank them. So you should thank them too. All right. Today's birth story. Great topic, because I know this is relevant for some of you or you're curious about it. Shoulder dystocia. And how can that be addressed in home birth? Well, today's guest can speak to that with not one experience around it, but two, one in hospital and one at home. So Amber Reed and her husband Austin joins as well. So we get mom and dad's perspective today. And they share how they prepared for Amber's second birth, but her first home birth. And given that her first daughter, born in a hospital, had shoulder dystocia, and it was actually something that was pretty traumatic and resulted in her first daughter having a broken clavicle, this was something that Amber was very keen on experiencing something different with in her second birth and it being her first home birth. So this is something that they did a lot of research around, had a lot of conversations on, and, you know, discussed this with her midwife. And, you know, that history of the first experience paired with a diagnosis of platypeloid pelvis, I really hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, is where the pelvic inlet is narrow and it's shaped more like a kidney. So all of those things, again, factored into how they were preparing for this birth and how Amber really wanted to feel more empowered in this experience. And Amber shares how chiropractic care supported her towards the end of the pregnancy, because she had about a month of prodromal labor. And her mantra through the experience of the birth of "I can," and how that supported her and moved her through, as well as some tips and some of her favorite resources. So it's a really great conversation. Again, if you have had any questions or curious about shoulder dystocia or experienced it yourself, or that could be something likely for you, you know, again, with Amber, because she experienced it in the first, it was something they were preparing for with the second. This is a great conversation for you to listen to and to just learn more about if it doesn't necessarily apply to you. It is not something I had ever heard of before doing it at home. And so I'm just so grateful for all these stories that I get to learn more about and the variations of normal and the breadth of the experience. So thank you to Amber. Thank you to Austin. Quick word from our sponsor, and then you will hear their story.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hey, Amber and Austin, welcome to the podcast. How are you all?
Doing great.
We're doing great. Thank you.
Awesome. Wonderful. We're very excited to have you both here today. That's always a treat when we have both partners, and it's just going to be so much fun. So thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, we're really excited to be on.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Okay. So Austin and I have been married about 3 years now, almost four. We've been together for six. I have a 10-year-old daughter from a previous relationship, and he has a 6-year-old daughter from a previous relationship. And then together we have Tatum, who will be 19 months on the 11th. And she was our home birth baby. The other two were born in hospitals.
Wow. That's beautiful. So you have a whole girl crew. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm one of three girls and I'm the youngest. So I have a kindred spirit with Tatum, and I'm excited to hear about her.
Well, I'm one of five girls and I'm also the youngest.
Wow.
That's cool.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay. So tell us a little bit then. You had a hospital birth experience, and then Austin was part of a hospital birth experience as well. So how did home birth come on the scene for you two?
Well, my hospital experience with Sky was very traumatic. She was born with shoulder dystocia. She was induced. We were induced at 39 weeks. The whole pregnancy was high risk due to a shortened cervix. So the whole pregnancy was high risk. The hospital birth was very traumatic. She got stuck. The intern pulled her out and broke her clavicle. There was a lot of tearing, and it was not something that I wanted to do again. And I did a lot of research after Sky was born, even though it was 10 years or it was 10 years between Sky being born and Tatum being born. I did a lot of research in that time that was something that I didn't ever want to do again.
Yeah, Mama, that sounds traumatic. I mean, for both of you, for her entering into the world like that and breaking a bone right out the gate. And then you healing, I'm sure, physically and emotionally, mentally as well. I'm just curious, for an injury like that for newborn baby, what was done for her, or how does that work?
So she, we had to put her in a sling where her arm couldn't move at all. Mm. And you could tell if you picked her up a certain way, you could feel kind of that bone grind. So she had to be in the sling and couldn't move for that arm for about 2 months. She had follow-up appointments with an orthopedic doctor until she was about 3 years old, just to make sure that it was healing correctly. There's still a bone scar there, but as far as development, if they had rebroke it and reset it, it would have pushed her development back even more. So they didn't want to do that. So it was basically a wait and see.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you know what typically happens with shoulder dystocia in terms of how do they get the baby out? Because you said the intern pulled her out.
Yeah, he did. She got stuck and he pulled her out. And what I found out when we started seeing our midwife, she did a very thorough pelvic exam and found that I had a platypelloid pelvic shape, which is very rare for most women. Instead of it's shaped like an oval, so like an oval lying down instead of a normal pelvic shape, which is like an oval standing up. Which is what caused my shoulder dystocia with both of my births.
Wow. But you know what, though, you say it's rare. I know someone right now listening is experiencing that. Yeah. Or is working through their own, pelvic examination that has revealed that, or had a previous birth experience. So I'm really happy that you mention it and share it, and that you've now had a home birth as well as a hospital birth, and you have both those experiences, to share knowledge from, to share wisdom from someone right now. This is a game changer.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And honestly, the online research, when she told me that, and I went to Googling, because everyone does, it's really scary. And it says, these people need C-sections. And even when I was pregnant with Tate, at first we started out with an OB and he was like, no, you're going to need a C-section. And I was like, I don't think I want to go that way. And even when we switched our midwife and they did that anatomy scan at the hospital, that OB that I saw there was pressuring me for a C-section. And a lot of online research says you need a C-section, and that's not the case. Sometimes it is, but it's not. Your body can still do it. As long as you have the research, you're with a knowledgeable midwife, and you know what to expect.
Mm-hmm. And Austin, how were you in the preparation conversations and process, from finding out you were pregnant and planning for the birth and doing the research and meeting with the midwives? How was that for you?
Well, with my 6-year-old Luna, she was a hospital birth, but we did go with my ex-wife. We went with a midwife. Mm. So I had experience, meeting with midwives previously, and the hospital experience we had was great, but I knew that Amber's wasn't, and I was going to fully support her in whatever she wanted to do. And I really liked the idea of everything being natural, and that really appealed to me. So I was fully on board with everything and really wanted to do the research with her.
That's awesome.
The hearts that you make sing, Austin, when you say that. It's really beautiful. That's great. So how did you envision the birth experience then, having gone through one before? What were you thinking about, or what were some elements or things that you knew you wanted to incorporate?
Well, the thing for me that really drove it home for me, where I really wanted to do it, was the fact that we were going to be able to do everything in the comfort of our own home. and no getting out and rushing around, you know, being able to have our child right there at home, not have to worry about when we're going to get out of a hospital. It was just very, very nice and very convenient.
Mm-hmm. And Amber, I'm curious, with the shoulder dystocia, is it likely, more likely to occur again, given that it had before, and with the shape of your pelvis, or was it just a possibility? And if so, with that, what were the conversations you were having with your midwife kind of in preparation for a different experience from the first one?
It is very likely. Okay. From my research, I knew, and there was a lot of back and forth at the beginning of, well, you know, especially from my family, I think they were worried, you know, about the shoulder dystocia. And where we lived at the time, the closest hospital that delivers babies was 30 minutes away. And if you called an ambulance, you wouldn't go to that hospital. You would go to one in our town, and then you would have to be driven an hour away. So the conversation was, if something happened, we would get in the car and drive 30 minutes to the closest hot. Well, it wasn't the closest hospital to us, but the closest one that delivered babies. Mm. And so it was, we knew that it would most likely happen. I did a lot of research on how to release that, different positions that you can get in to help release it. One of our midwives, Libby, she trained up there at the farm, with Ina May.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So she was very knowledgeable on how to release the shoulder, dystocia as well.
And we also went to a birth chiropractor, which was amazing. I think that helped a ton and, made Amber feel a lot better too, I believe.
Mm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What sort of things did the birth chiropractor work with you on or share with you?
Well, I had a lot of prodromal labor starting. So Tatum was born on March 11th. My prodromal labor started on February 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Like a which is also very common with that type of pelvic shape. So we knew that would happen. What we didn't expect is how draining it would be. Always thinking, this is real, this is it. And then it would, you know, have contractions all night and it would stop. So that's when we really started seeing the chiropractor. I saw her pretty much every week in that last, the last 4 weeks. She helped to open my pelvic inlet. She taught Austin how to do the side laying hip release that we would do every night to help open up that pelvic inlet. She was incredible. If you're in Chattanooga, if anyone's listening, if you're in Chattanooga, go to Family Chiropractic.
Nice.
Nice.
Shout out.
We can put a link on the website too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
The show notes for that. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I mean, we are big fans of chiropractic care when we were pregnant as well. And you know, we've continued for years afterwards, and it was a game changer. Mm-hmm. And something that we didn't know about before, right?
Yeah. Either.
Yeah. And really it's about finding a really good one. My chiropractor had three or four home births. And so she was really supportive, really knowledgeable. The last time I went to see her while I was pregnant, I was actually 6 centimeters and my labor had stalled. And so we went and saw her twice in the 4 days that I was at 6 centimeters to try and get labor moving again.
Ooh, all right.
So with the
a lot of miles walked.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
We had season passes for the aquarium, so we would leave the chiropractor and go walk 3 or 4 miles at the aquarium and try to get the labor going again.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about this labor starting. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, let's get into birthing time.
Sounds great.
Okay. So we're going to the chiropractor. We're walking miles. We're hanging out with the whales and the seals at the aquarium. Tell us when it was actually getting real? You know, this is no longer a drill.
So like I said, on March 6th, I started having contractions that lasted every 3 minutes. I had dilated up to 5 centimeters at that point. During those contractions, we called the midwife over and I dilated to another 6. I dilated the 6 and then it just completely stalled. So we spent 4 days having a pity party, seeing the chiropractor, crying. I cried a lot. and so that Sunday on the 10th, we were sitting on the couch after spending just a day, just Austin and I. We had went fishing. We ate some chicken parmesan. I took a bath and we were sitting on the couch watching TV when a contraction hit me. And immediately I flew off the couch onto my hands and knees on the floor. And it was so intense. And I just started crying. And I said, I don't think I can do this. Like, if this isn't real labor now, I am not strong enough to do this. And Austin got down beside me and he started rubbing my back and he said, you can do this and you are strong enough. So that was the start of our labor. It was 6 p.m. on Sunday. I did not want him to call the midwife. because I wasn't convinced that it was actual labor. And so I got in the shower. I got in and out of the shower. My sister called at one point and I was vocalizing through contractions. And she said to Austin, she said, you need to call Rachel right now. Like, that's what you're paying her for. Call her, get her there at least to check it out, or you're going to deliver this baby. So Rachel came down, and at this point I was 7 centimeters. And I had thought when she got there that my labor had started stalling again. I was really emotional. I was like, there's no way this is it. And so she had me lay down on the bed to check to see how far I was dilated, and a contraction hit then, and I had to roll over to my hands and knees again. And it just, my contractions were spaced out, but they were extremely intense. So I probably got like 3 to 5 minutes between every contraction, but when they would come, it was incredibly intense. So we labored. She had me sit on the back of the toilet, facing the toilet so I could rest and relax there with my legs up. And I went from that to in the tub until about, I think it was 1 a.m. when I started throwing up and just got... it got super intense. So they went ahead and checked me again. I was 8 centimeters. And I said, I just want to get in the birth tub. I was feeling intense pressure. And so they started filling that up and I just stood there and watched them the whole time. Cause I was just ready. I knew the relief that the tub would bring. Or at least I figured it would. And it did. So I think what that was around 1 a.m.
At 1:30. Yeah, around 1:30, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think you got in the shower a few times while they were filling it up because it took a long time to fill that tub up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that tub, that can be a tricky thing that often takes into the story, whether it happens or doesn't happen, blows up, doesn't, how long it takes, the water temperature might not be right. That tub can be a precarious thing. Yeah. I'm curious, Austin, how were you in witness to the experience thus far as Amber's moving through it? You know, how were you feeling? How were you processing and watching her?
I was really excited and I was trying to be as much help as I could. But it was so intense for her that sounds or things touching her were very she just kind of wanted to be left alone a lot of the time. So I kind of had to respect that and at the same time be bringing her the stuff that she needed. I tried to keep her. We had a, what was the?
Labor aid.
Yeah, we had made a labor aid.
Labor aid.
Yeah.
I've heard that great. Little concoction. So, I've heard great things.
Oh, it's so good.
Since she had been thrown up, I was trying my best to get her to drink, you know, to keep her hydrated. And that was pretty much it. We had spent months before the labor. She had made this labor playlist. And
like as soon as we found out we were pregnant, we started on this labor playlist.
And I was really wanting to play the labor playlist, but I don't think we listened to any of it the whole night.
It was like 15 seconds of one song, and I was like, nope.
Don't turn that off.
Got it. Yes, this could be a postpartum mix.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Amber, what did you find effective to flow through the contractions?
Vocalizing. And our 10-year-old was home when I was in labor, and she had went to bed. I could have sworn like the neighbors heard me, but it did not wake her up. But vocalizing through it was one of the best things I could have done.
Yeah, I think one of the best phrases I think that we kept repeating is you can do anything for a minute.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And eventually it got to where I couldn't even finish that phrase. All I could do was say, I can.
Wow. Wonderful. Did you vocalize during Sky's delivery?
Honestly, I didn't very much. Which her labor was fast and furious. It was an induction, like I said, and they broke my water at noon and she was born at 1 a.m. And it was, she was fast and furious. I didn't have time to, or I did get an epidural, but they couldn't do anything with it because I was already 9.5 centimeters. So.
Ah, okay.
Gotcha.
So
I can. And then how did things move from there?
So I got into the birth tub. I was laying on my side and I had put my hand up and Austin was holding on to my hand. The next contraction came and I was feeling so much pressure and I was like, I already knew that I was still 8 centimeters, but I thought, I'm just going to push a little and see what happens. And I heard and felt this pop. Ooh. And the release and my bag of waters came out and it looked completely intact.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, what is that? My midwives rushed over and they said, wow, your bag of waters has some integrity because it stayed intact. They felt around to make sure that her umbilical cord didn't get caught in there. Mm-hmm. To make sure that the cord hadn't prolapsed and to check Tatum's heart rate for any decelerations, which there weren't any. So they released the water from that bag. And in the next contraction, I really wanted to push again. And they said, you can't, you're only 8 centimeters. But they said, just get on your hands and knees. And mind you, I had been in the tub like maybe 10 minutes at this point. So they said, just flip over and get on your hands and knees to try and release some of the pressure that you feel to push. As soon as I did, my body just took over. And it's like the opposite reflex that you have when you're throwing up. It was just like my body was like, get this baby out. Mm-hmm. So on that contraction, her head crowned. On the next one, her head came out. And her cord was around her neck. They remove that. And Rachel felt in and felt that Tatum's shoulder was lodged on my pelvic bone, my pubic bone. So they asked me to get out of the tub. so they could see more. So I, with a lot of help and a baby halfway out, I climbed out of the tub and got on my hands and knees on the next contraction, which felt like 10 years. Rachel reached in and she knew that I had all of this space in the back of my pelvis area. So she was able to reach in and kind of lift Tatum up. When she did, Tatum was able to release her anterior shoulder and her body came out. They did have me continue pushing through that last contraction even after it ended, just to so she didn't get stuck there again. So she helped lift her up as Tatum moved to her side, and she came out.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
And she came out.
Midwives are amazing.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
They really are.
Holy.
Thank you.
You should see my eyes right now. I'm like, my eyes are bugging out. Wow.
But so, to go from you need a C-section from more yeah. than one person, you need a C-section. That's the only way, and whatever else was added onto that, right? That's the only responsible way to go about this. That's the only way that this is going to happen. That's the only way, you know, everyone's going to come out all right, to then she's out. She's here.
Yeah.
As soon as
she came out, my midwife looked at me and said, "What did you say those doctors said you needed?"
Aww. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. All right, I want to go back to this moment where her head comes out. And so then your midwife, her name is Rachel, correct?
Yes, Rachel and Libby.
So Rachel sticks her hand in and then is able to feel that the shoulder is stuck. And then you said she lifts Tatum up?
Yeah, she just helped lift her just a little bit because she did a lot of pelvic exams. She did a lot of research on the type of pelvic that I had. And knew ahead of time that there was a lot of room. She knew that there was all this room in the back of my pelvis. Mm-hmm. That if Tatum could just get into that area, she would be able to slip past that part of my pelvic bone.
Yeah, that's she studied the terrain. She knew where she was working.
That's just so cool to me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's amazing. So how was everyone feeling when she arrived? Austin, how were you?
Yeah, what was that like, Austin?
It was amazing. So when she had first gotten the tub, you know, I thought Tatum was starting to crown, and then she released her, you know, the water came out, and that was I wasn't ready for that really. I mean, it looked like I was thinking the baby's about to come, and then her water bag comes out, and it literally looked like a crystal ball. I was kind of in shock over that. But then, you know, stuff started to get moving, you know, quick after that happened. And we got her out of the tub. And once she come out, Amber grabbed her, and I had my phone ready, and I grabbed an awesome picture of her facial expression as soon as she seen her. Yeah. So,
and everyone just comments on that picture, just the power that they see in it. And just like, I'll send it to you guys. It is an incredible picture.
I'm feeling a lot of things, you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, and Bivens is speechless. I'm looking at him like, I thought he was about to say something, but he's just speechless. So, well done there.
I'm thinking about the bag of waters. I'm thinking about the Rachel and turning baby Tatum. And
yeah, I couldn't have asked for better midwives. The group that we got, if anyone's in the Knoxville area, they service East Tennessee, but not quite into Chattanooga. Roots and Wings, they are just incredible. They're so supportive and so knowledgeable. And I couldn't have asked for the better team, especially for what we were up against.
Mm-hmm. And the care that they provided post-labor was amazing. Mm-hmm. Before they left the house, they, you know, the cleanup, they got, they had Amber on a, they hooked her up to an IV to
yeah.
get her rehydrated.
Cause I was still throwing up at this point.
Yes.
Even after the labor, I had retained, we found out 2 days later when I passed it, but I had retained a piece of the bag of waters.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, that I told them to, I was like, I can't believe it, but it's almost like I'm still having these high, like hormonal pregnancy hormones going on. My sense of smell was so really high. I had like morning sickness type feelings. Every time Tatum would latch on, it would be like this rush of hormones and I would have to lean over her head to throw up. And it was my body signaling something isn't right. And thankfully my body did what it was supposed to and it passed that bag of waters. And once that came out, I was totally fine.
Wow. That's something I haven't heard before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And what had happened is the bag had ripped at the top. And so when that one piece came out, it had just totally. And that was the piece that was retained.
Can you say that one more time? The line went out. You said when the bag ripped at the top.
Oh. Yeah. So the bag completely ripped at the top and that bottom piece is what came out like a crystal ball.
Okay.
And so the top piece is what was retained. We believe, I mean, it could have just been stuck to the top of my uterus, but as my uterus was contracting and shrinking down again, my body pushed it out.
Yeah. Had to get out.
Yeah.
How was it meeting her sisters?
Yeah. I was just curious about that.
Oh, so my labor started at 6 PM. She was born at 2:24 AM. After the midwives left about 5 AM, we woke Sky up and brought her in there and she just cried. She just cried and was just so impressed. And like I said, she slept through the entire labor until we woke her up, which is incredible. and then we brought Luna over a little later that afternoon to meet her. And Luna was just, she was super excited, wanted to change all her clothes.
That's great. Oh, wow, so you guys. This has been such a great story and just having both of you as well and all of the elements that you shared in terms of busting down, you know, myths and fear conversation and beliefs, I think is so cool as well. And what it offers the community as far as what's possible, I just think is outstanding. And I'm so excited to have you in this space with us.
Yeah.
So thank you for being with us. Thank you for sharing your story. Is there any final words or anything you would want to share, either of you, whether it's for mamas or partners, whether with situations like yours or just in general, something that you've kind of taken out of your experience?
Well, hindsight is 2020. I recommend that everyone have a doula, not so much for during the labor, because I'm not sure I would want someone to touch me, but before, with all the prodromal labor, Austin and I both could have used that emotional support that a doula provides. Mm. And also check out the Spinning Babies website. They have a lot of great information about different pelvic types and what you can do to help move your baby into position, moves during labor, and what's best positions for you with your different pelvic type.
That's great. Those are both such great pieces of advice, advice and super clear and actionable. So thank you for that.
And we'll again put links to everything in the show notes. And Austin, do you have any final words?
I mean, I think anybody going for a home birth, the main thing is teamwork. You know, teamwork makes the dream work. And I think that's what a big reason that everything went so smooth with us. I mean, there were some rough parts, but in the end, we look back on it and we wouldn't have done it any other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Amber and Austin, thank you so much. Yes. We appreciate you and your family.
Thank you so much.
quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.